Welcome back to the Effective Ministry Podcast, the podcast that helps you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your local church. I'm Tim Bielhartz, a children's ministry advisor for YouthWorks in Sydney, and I'm joined today by my friend and colleague, Matt Bartlett, who is a youth ministry advisor for YouthWorks. How are you feeling this morning, Matt?
I'm feeling all right. Good to go.
Excellent. That's
more
great.
Or less.
Last week, I was talking to Joe as a party about intergenerational ministry, and I just made the offhand comment that intergenerationality is one of YouthWorks's seven principles of effective ministry. And it kind of occurred to me in that moment that we haven't actually defined those seven principles as a podcast episode. And I thought that'd be really worth doing. And I'm really glad that you are here to do that with us. I've realized we're 40 episodes in and we haven't actually defined our terms. So we're called the Effective Ministry Podcast. We do a lot of talk about effective ministry at YouthWorks. Part of that was that when our CEO arrived 6 years ago, Craig Roberts, you can listen to him on episode 14. But when he arrived 6 years ago, he said, okay, change of leadership, change of vision, establish a new vision for YouthWorks, which was to have an effective youth and children's ministry in every church.
Every church.
And then he turned to the ministry support team, the team that we are both part of, and said, all right, I need you guys to help me define what effectiveness is. Now, we'd had some experience there. We're both experienced in youth and children's ministry. We had a team full of experience. Ministry support has run for a long time and had a lot of different pieces of paper, lots of different ideas, lots of documentation on different things of effective, but it was a bit of a scattergun. And we thought, oh, well, this is a great opportunity to refine that, bring it all down and come up with what we think are the principles of effective ministry. So we can just talk about those seven principles.
Sure.
And we're trying to capture what it means to have a holistic account of effectiveness. If we're doing these seven things in either our children's or our youth ministry, ideally both, obviously, then we're working towards effectiveness. And so there's kind of three groupings here. There is the principles that we look at going sort of internal into the parish ministry that we might be doing at the local church. There's two principles that work outside. So what are we doing towards the community outside of the local church? And then there's two principles that look at the ministry from above and think about the health of the minister and training of teams. So we'll get to those. But before we jump into the actual principles, why is effectiveness important, Matt? Why is it important to be thinking about these things?
When Craig came up with this new vision of an effective youth and children's ministry in every church, it's a kind of a phrase that we can all get behind, right? Everyone was pretty excited about that. Everyone at YouthWorks can feel as though that's something they can work towards. But yeah, this question of effectiveness and what it is and what it looks like is important to define, because we can try all sorts of things. We can go in all sorts of directions trying to do what we think is good. But like on what basis are we measuring effectiveness? On what basis are we defining effectiveness? Of course, effective is what we want to be for the gospel, right? We don't want to just be, flapping around doing nothing of any consequence. We want to be building the kingdom. We want to see people come to Christ. We want to see young Christians, old Christians, just anyone taking steps forward on their journey with Jesus. That moving forward is a part of what effectiveness is, right? And so, how do we as ministry workers who are running youth groups and kids clubs and church services, what do we do? What do we think about? How do we approach trying to help people take the next step in one after another through their life with Jesus?
And so it gives us those grids, those questions to be saying, okay, well, let's look at these things, and we'll get towards the end about the way that we help churches assess these principles. Mm-hmm. But we can help churches see these are the things that are going well for you, and these are the things that are weaknesses and you can work on. And we have different ways of doing that as a ministry team, but we'll get to that towards the end. Let's have a look at these principles one by one. So The first principle is that effective youth and children's ministries engage in Bible-centered, relational discipleship with young people. And the two big concepts that we're trying to put together here into one is that effective ministry is Bible-centered and it's also relational.
Yeah.
Let's start with Bible-centered. Why? I mean, for most of our listeners, this is going to be sort of a no-brainer, but why Bible-centered? And what might the opposite of that be?
Well, it's because the word of God is living and active, right? That's the thing that does the work. You know, I can quote a bunch of different Bible verses that we all probably know pretty well about why it's the word of God, which is central to our to forming our faith and upon which we need to build our principles and our view. What's the opposite? Well, I guess it's not Bible-based. But I mean, I don't know about you, Tim, in your ministry, but you know, I'm talking to people about their youth ministries as I meet up with people around the place. And often I see a bit of a dichotomy where programs are either one or the other. They are trying to be relational, and the big focus is, you know, relating with young people and having a good time with them and being on good terms with them, which is really great. But the Bible takes a bit of a back seat. It's there. It's definitely there. Jesus is spoken about, but it's not in focus. It's not what they're trying to do. But then you've got other youth groups that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to get people to read the Bible, and they go deep in understanding the Bible, but sometimes they really kind of skimp on the relational part of discipleship. And it's just, it's like a lecture. It's like a university lecture where you just, it's all about kind of building a head knowledge, I guess. But as we look through the Bible, when we see discipleship going on, it's thoroughly word-based, but it's also thoroughly relational. It's both at the same time. Discipleship has to be relational, and it has to be based in God's word, because if it's not based in God's word, then it's still discipleship of a nature, but it's not discipleship as a follower of Jesus.
Yeah, I think of that part where Paul writes to the Thessalonians that we shared not just the gospel, but our very lives as well.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that kind of captures even just in one sentence, this idea that of course we're sharing the gospel and it's done in life. Life together is really, really key. I suppose one example of an opposite, when I first started at YouthWorks, one of my responsibilities was to go and visit a whole lot of boys only groups, of which there were a few left in Sydney, not many. One of the groups I visited did, you know, an hour and 25 minutes of high energy activities and games and lots of stuff that just the boys absolutely loved and enjoyed. And then right towards the end, there was a 3-minute Bible talk, just a quick little, you know, opening up the Bible, read a verse. Hey boys, this is what it means to be a Christian. All right, let's go home. And I sat down with the leaders afterwards and I said, so what is your hope and dreams for these boys? Like, what do you actually want? And they said, oh, we really want them to grow up to know and love God and to have a relationship with him. And I said, great.
Of course you do. Everyone says that. Everyone wants that, right?
Absolutely. And I said, great. Where is that expressed in the last hour and a half that we've just had in the ministry? And they're like, oh, well, I guess in that last 3 minutes. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I think in those last 3 minutes, you did kind of hold the Bible out for them, but it felt very token right at the end and almost like incidental. Like, oh, that's right. We've got to put in a little bit of Bible thing because we're actually a Christian group. So yeah, the way we phrase this, that the ministry is Bible centered, means that not just that we've got the Bible there, but the Bible somehow is the central part of what we do in ministry.
Yeah, which doesn't mean that it infiltrates every single word that comes out of our mouth or every single activity that we do.
No, you can still play soccer because soccer's fun.
Yeah, that's right. But and it develops a relationship, right? Yeah. And but what are we developing those relationships for? Is it for the sake of being a mad group of soccer players, or is it for the sake of helping us to be a loving community of followers of Jesus? At the 3 minutes at the end of a intense period of games or whatever, I mean, it's great that the Bible was there, I guess, but I imagine the boys felt that was unsatisfactory. I mean, I'm sure they love playing all the games, but when the word of God is spoken about, it triggers stuff in, it makes you think stuff, it makes you ask questions. And if you've got 3-4 minutes to just listen to some person just talking about some stuff, it doesn't give you the time to reflect and to have those things land and to ask questions and to really start to own your belief for yourself. It's just like a done and dusted. It's over. It's over in a couple of minutes. And so, yeah, is that effective? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's right. So that's principle one. Effective youth and children's ministries engage in Bible-centered relational discipleship with young people. So principle two then says that effective youth and children's ministries partner with the home as the primary place of discipleship. So in the history of youth and children's ministry in the last kind of 20 years, there's been a bit of a focus on family ministry. And I suppose this is kind of reflecting some of those insights. How do you understand this principle playing out?
Yeah, well, I think that the biggest part of this principle is relationship, because it's talking about a partnership, right? That partnering with the home, we're engaging in a partnership with the home context of a young person. And, you know, partnership is predicated on relationship. Often what I see is people going straight to, okay, what do parents need? They need to read the Bible with their kids, which of course they do. How are we going to help them to do that? Oh, okay, we're going to give them a bunch of tools. We're going to tell them what to do. We're going to give them all the kids' Bibles in the world. And we are focusing on equipping them. And I think that's really great. We need to work to equip parents. But I think we jump a step if we go straight to, okay, here's all the things that you need to do, parents, if we don't first kind of build the trust and build the relationship with them, just simply by doing things like having conversations with them, probably about their kids. Their kids will come up, but also maybe just about them as real people as well, about ourselves, just investing in an actual relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ who happen to be the parents of the kids in our youth group. Partnering with the home is seeking to actually grow in a relationship with them. But the other thing that I see also, and I certainly have been guilty of this in the past, I see youth ministry workers and youth leaders maybe running ahead of the parents. We take seriously the desire to disciple these young people. And so we want to do that. But sometimes we run ahead of the parents. We forget to kind of bring the parents along with us, so to speak. Mm. And so I think what this principle is about is recognizing that this is a partnership, but actually we want to encourage the parents to take responsibility in this partnership. That they're the ones who are the parents. They're the ones who know these kids. They're the ones who have brought them into this world and developed them into people and helped them to grow. And so instead of seeing ourselves as just carrying this responsibility to disciple these young people, that we ought to see ourselves more of a complementary partner to the parents who are running point. We are the partner in this. It's not that we're trying to get them to partner with us in what we're doing. We need to have a mindset of partnering with them.
Absolutely. One of the classic texts in this field is Think Orange. And there's two principles working in the book Think Orange. One is that parents, you are the primary spiritual disciplers of your kids. And two, you are not the only spiritual disciplers that your child needs. And so therefore, when the church and the home are working well together, we are doing this effectively. The imagery of Thinking Orange is that the church is kind of like the light of the world, and so it's thinking yellow, and the home is where, you know, heart and devotion, and so they're thinking red. And some of the tension can be the church just wishes the home was more churchy, and the home wishes the church was more homey, and they actually pull against each other.
Yeah.
Where actually the most effective family ministry is going to happen when you're actively working together and therefore Thinking Orange, hence the
yellow,
name
red, orange.
Yeah, you've got them working together and creating a beautiful unison for the sake of these young people growing and knowing Jesus.
Because, I mean, as a parent, I've got three kids. My eldest just this past weekend went to youth camp for the first time.
Yeah, fantastic.
So I'm finally, after 20 odd years as being a youth minister, I finally have a kid who's actually in the youth group now, which is a bit bizarre for me.
I'm the opposite. I've just had my youngest has just become a teenager. And so someone who has committed to vocational children's ministry, I now feel completely out of my depth. I've got nothing now. Right.
Hand it over to the youth ministry workers.
Yeah.
But I have kids, and as a parent of these kids, I love the fact that there's other people in my church who are just investing in my kids because they love them, because they see them as equal partners in Christ. But also, you know, I look at the team of, like, in our church, most of the youth leaders and the kids ministry workers, you know, quite a bit younger than what I am, which is fantastic. And I love that. But I don't, as a dad, I don't really want, you know, a 21-year-old trying to teach me how to parent my kids.
And that's not their role.
And that's not their role. No. Yeah, that's right. And so if that's what we're trying to do, it just doesn't work. But when that 21-year-old comes up to me and says, oh, hey, Matt, you know, I just wanted to let you know about this thing that happened at Kids Church this morning, and it was just really brilliant. Or it comes up and says, hey, Matt, how are you going with, you know, being a dad? What are some things that I can pray for you about? And just having a conversation with me and expressing that kind of genuine relationship. That's partnership. That's what I'm looking for as a parent, and that's what I benefit from. It's not, hey Matt, this is what you need to do in order to see your kids be discipled.
All right, so there's family ministry, so there's principle two. Principle three is that is intergenerational piece. So effective youth and children's ministries establish young people into an intergenerational faith community. So this is acknowledging, I suppose, some of that second piece of the Think Orange, that young people actually need the community of faith. Parents might be primary, but they're not the only influence they need. Why? I mean, part of this intergenerationality is you've got obviously leaders of youth ministry and children's ministry who are older than the kids. So there's a generational difference there. But we're also thinking here about, you know, making sure that the children are embedded in the whole church. Mm. So the local church know who the kids and youth are, the youth and kids know who the local church is, that we sort of minimize the separation between those two. I speak a lot about this all the time. People have heard me. This is my jam.
Yeah.
For you, why is this an important principle for youth and children's ministry?
Yeah, okay. So there's a few things. One is because this is the kind of thing that I see in the Bible. So, you know, over the past however many years, we found ourselves in a situation in our church, in our churches, our culture, where there's really kind of distinctive age groups that are kind of kept separate from one another. But I don't really see that very much in the Bible. When we see the community of God's people gathered, it's everyone. It's not there isn't a kids program, there isn't a creche, there isn't a high schooler's Bible study that's going on somewhere else. Everyone's together, even in the hard moments, even in the moments where they're being judged. Like, kids experience God's judgment as
well. Yeah,
they're
caught up in that. Yeah, but
yeah, it's not that they miss out. They're a part of it. Like, they are legitimately equal members of our church. Like, Jesus talks about the kids coming to him. Acts 16, where the Philippian jailer becomes a Christian and his whole household gets baptized, which presumably would have had kids in it as well.
You know, and household servants. And,
yeah, like, it has all sorts of people. Like, yeah. It's not just that. I think one of the mistakes we've made in the past when we're thinking about intergenerational stuff is that we've kind of potentially made it focused on kids. But actually, it's not just focused on kids. They're one part of the intergenerationalness of it all. And so, you know, I see it in the Bible. That's how it works. As I reflect on my own experience as a young Christian who kind of started going to church as about 14 or so, I loved youth group. Like, it was the most incredible thing I'd ever experienced. So, like, the fact that he was a group of teenagers my age who just loved me because they loved me. I didn't have to prove myself to them. Like, it was incredible, right? That having that group of people, great. But also, as I reflect back on my growth as a Christian, youth group certainly played a role. But actually, it was when I started coming to church and interacting more with my friends' parents and other people in my church who were older than me, when I was given opportunity to engage with people who were younger than me and teach them at Sunday school and that kind of thing. I gained so much from those relationships. I learned so much about what it looks like to be a Christian in a stage of life that I'm not at yet. I had a model of what to look for and what to work towards. Another part of it is, statistically speaking, 4 out of 10 of the kids in our churches who are under the age of 10, by the time that they're adults, will no longer be in church. Mm. But one of the factors for people who are resilient disciples who make their way through is that they have genuine relationships with Christians who are older than them, who are not their parents. That was certainly the case for me. My parents didn't come to church until a little bit later on when I grew up. And so it was these relationships with these older Christians that really kind of kept me feeling as though I was part of that broader community. Even when youth group finished, it wasn't just that I belonged with the teenagers. Actually, I belonged with the 60-year-olds as well. And I belonged with the 5-year-olds. And I belonged with the full gamut of the people in the community. It wasn't just this age-based group that I belonged to. And I think resilient disciples are established in that broader community.
Yeah. And if people want to find out more about intergenerational ministry, you can look back. There's lots of episodes on the podcast about that, which probably shows my bias.
Just email Tim. He'll talk to you about it all day.
A lot of my friends that I've had on the podcast have talked about that. So now those three, principle one is kind of our word ministry in relational discipleship. Principle two is our partnering with families, family ministry. Principle three, intergenerational ministry. All of these are primarily, but not exclusively, thinking about what we do into the ministries, the local ministries that we're doing. Principle 4 and 5 are starting to think about how does our ministries look outward beyond what is currently happening in the local church to see how we can see effective ministry beyond. So Principle 4 is effective youth and children's ministries engage in mission to see young people come to faith in Christ. We know that there are children, there are adolescents in our communities, in our schools, in our sports programs, in our next door neighbors who are not yet Christians, and we would love for them to experience the joy of Christ and the gospel. And so we want to make sure that this is highlighted there. You mentioned that your parents weren't going to church when you first came to church. Yep. So in one sense, the church was ministering to you in a missional sense. You're from a not churched home. So I know this one is particularly precious to you.
Yep.
You just want to talk about why do effective youth and children's ministries look beyond the walls of what is currently happening to those who are not yet Christians?
It's because everybody needs the gospel, right? It's because, you know, despite the fact that we are all desperate sinners, Jesus died to forgive us of that, to bring us into his kingdom. And he offers everybody hope. Like it's not just it's just not the Christians that the gospel applies to. It's everybody. Jesus, he says to us, right? He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Like we are privileged to be a part of God's mission in the world. It's his mission. And as his followers, as his people, he calls us to be the ones that kind of live it out. We're the ones that are building the kingdom. He's building the kingdom through. And so, yeah, it's core to who we are. We need to be engaging in mission.
Lots of the Bible talks about, you know, there's being salt and light in the world. There's to go and make disciples. You know, Paul says, you've been reconciled to Christ. Now go and be agents of reconciliation out to others. We want to be doing that as ministers. And I think another important part of this is that we're equipping the young people themselves to also be on mission. What's a way that you've seen effective to actually help the teenagers in the youth group be themselves reconciliators as they go out to, and they've got Christian mates at school and at soccer and community, etc.? How do we equip young people to be on mission?
I think a couple of things come to mind. I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people try and do this, is equipping them with an understanding of gospel in such a way that they're also able to not just understand it for themselves, but articulate it for other people as well. So actually empowering our young people to engage other people with the gospel, whoever they're speaking to, not just to be as the youth or kids ministry leaders, as the church leaders being the gatekeepers of the gospel. So, invite your friends to youth group so we can tell them the gospel. No, it's going to be much more effective if it's the young people themselves who are engaging people with the gospel. Because, see, a young kid's going to, they might listen to an older guy like me, and, you know, sometimes they do, I guess. But there's something different from sharing your faith with your peers than hearing from someone in a more authoritative position, I guess. And so, I think it's really key to equip the young people themselves to engage in that kind of mission. But it's not just equipping them to know and articulate the gospel. It's giving them the opportunity to live as authentic Christians in such a way that everybody sees.
And also to, as you say, like to be able to have a gospel outline or understanding of what it means to be a Christian from their own perspective as well. So that's going to help. So there's principle four that we've helped have mission to young people coming to faith in Christ, and that will include in helping young people to be themselves on mission as well as we doing that. Now, principle five is effective youth and children's ministries collaborate with other churches in ministry to young people. Now, we've kind of struggled to articulate this one well and with the definition and the indicators of this, but we've always had this hunch that obviously a local church is not doing it alone. There are going to be times when we run our own local children's ministry and youth ministry, but there's also a gospel heart is more expansive than that. And a gospel effectiveness is going to include partnering with other churches, and it might be with other churches in terms of schools ministry. It might be other churches in terms of ministry and mission partnerships that this church and this church and this church all together help finance the missionary that's going over to Tanzania. There's lots of ways in which it's not just about the local church. We want to have an expansive vision for what the kingdom of God is doing around the place. And certainly in a suburban area like Sydney, you've got dozens of really excellent churches all within a stone's throw of each other. And so we're thinking about the ways that those churches can work well together. How do you see collaboration working well in effective youth and children's ministry?
I think one of the key words in this is network. And what's a network? It's a kind of an interlinked community where the people in that community are connected. And you were just reflecting before, Tim, about, you know, some of these collaborative efforts might be kind of missional kind of things. I remember some of you older Christians might remember a Christian artist named Paul Coleman. He's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Paul Coleman Trio.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
And I was at a concert once, and I remember, and this has always stuck with me. He was talking about how he was explaining that a network is like a net. And I think the point he was trying to make is, you know, if Jesus has called us to be fishers of men, yeah, we can fish with a fishing line and that might be helpful, but actually more effective fishing happens with nets. And so, you know, instead of being, you know, the solo fisher of men, I guess, having these networks. And I think, yeah, there's some truth in that, right? You know, as we work together and as we partner with one another, our missional efforts can be more effective often by the grace of God. And so that's one part of it, but it's not just about kind of outward focused mission. It's also about supporting each other.
Yeah.
It's also about, you know, having an understanding. Like there's something about just having a group of people who know what it's like to be in your shoes, who know what it's like to experience the things that you're experiencing in ministry and be able to talk and empathize and support and keep accountable and rebuke and encourage and exhort and all those things are really significant factors in helping kind of maintain our effectiveness.
Yeah. I think even while we may have struggled to articulate this principle well, I think we're actually doing this really well in practice. I think there's been seasons where there's been competition between youth ministries where it's kind of like, oh, I've got to do a better job than the guy down the road because I've got to be more attractive to kids than the others. And so I think it's been really helpful that I feel like we're in a season now where a lot of local youth ministers from all the churches in a particular area are becoming really great friends with each other and really care for each other and pray for each other and want to work together towards the gospel. I think that's a really beautiful outworking of this principle in practice. Let's keep on moving. The clock is ticking on our time together. Principle 6 is effective ministries train their leadership teams for ministry with young people.
Yep.
What's the importance of training and how does that play out?
The highest level of Olympians have coaches. They still do training, right? And if we're wanting to be effective, then continual training is what's required. I guess the thing that I would say about this, and this has come from learning this myself in practice, is when it comes to training your team, really super important that you have a two-pronged approach, that you train your teams well together. You invest in team training, and that might look like having training days or going to other training days. We run training days. You can bring your team along to them. But investing in training on a team level, but also investing in kind of the leadership development on a one-to-one level. I think it took me way too long to learn that second part of the equation. But once I started meeting one-to-one with my youth leaders and just investing in them relationally and having that context where we were there to just think through how we can develop on that one-to-one level, man, that paid dividends for the team as well as the ministry. And so, yeah, I guess the big thing that I would say about team training is, yeah, having that team approach, but also investing in a one-to-one kind of a way with your leaders as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's lots of ways that training can play out. You can do it locally in your church. You can join with other churches and do it in terms, I suppose, of next steps following this. If you've got excited by these principles, one of the next steps is YouthWorks does run training. We do a lot of local training here in Sydney. We also do training via Zoom external to Sydney as well. So we've done a lot of training with Western New South Wales, with other states in Australia. We've done training across in Singapore, all via Zoom. So if you are interested in training and looking at that, you can go to youthworks.net, look at the ministry support and training, and you'll find a lot of the topics there if you want to take your training to the next level. Last principle, principle 7, is an effective youth and children's ministries are led by ministry workers growing in spiritual and emotional health and serving with intent. It's a little bit long, a little bit wordy, this one, but essentially what we're concerned about is that the ministry worker, and we're thinking primarily about the top ministry worker here, you might be a paid or a high-level lay coordinator, but the person leading the ministry is actually spiritually healthy, physically healthy, emotionally healthy, and they have intentionality. So again, we've both been ministry workers. We've been at this a very long time. Why is spiritual and emotional health key to doing effective ministry?
Well, it's all about taking those steps forward, isn't it? If the ministry worker is not taking steps forward, if they're just kind of stagnant and they're the leader, where are they leading? One of the brilliant and amazing truths of the gospel is that God is sovereign over all things regardless. Regardless of our best efforts and our worst failures, God's still sovereign. But that doesn't mean we rest on our laurels. It doesn't mean we just go, oh, well, God's got it. Doesn't matter where I'm at. We want to work hard at ensuring our own spiritual and emotional health for our own well-being. As you've mentioned, Tim, we've been around for a little while, and I've seen when this goes wrong and the collateral damage that causes is just, it's immense, and it's just sad, and it's really negative. And so our part of our vision for effective ministry is to ensure that the ministry worker is actually in a good spot, that they're looking after themselves on kind of a holistic level. Yeah, spiritually, emotionally, physically, relationally, that they're working towards being in a good place so that as they lead, they can lead people in an effective direction.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a cliche, but there's that idea from when you're catching a flight that if the air masks come down, affix your own air mask first and then help the people next to you, which I always find a helpful reminder, because if I'm sitting next to my kid on a plane, it's like I'm going to neglect my own health for the sake of my kid. But there's that reminder, it's like, no, in order to help your kid the best, you need to make sure your oxygen mask is on, because if you pass out before you get to your kid, you're no use to anyone.
That's right.
And so there's that part of like, look, we do have to look after ourselves, and ministry does take emotional and spiritual energy. And so we need to make sure that's being topped up. So we've got those 7 principles. These are the 7 things, and there might be others, but we feel that most things about how to do ministry in a sustainable, effective way is going to be captured in some way under these 7. We've got some ways of helping churches assess this. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the Effective Ministry Tool?
Yeah, so the Effective Ministry Tool, the EMT as we call it, is a survey that churches can do. Works best when like church ministry teams do it together. So you've got senior minister, youth minister, kids minister, whoever, like you've got more than the one person doing it is when it works best. Basically what the EMT does is it takes a snapshot of where your church is at the moment in relation to these 7 principles and starts to dig into what are the practices that are going on that where we see these principles playing out in practice. So yeah, we take the snapshot, this generates a big report, and then we organize a time to meet up with you and go through it together and start to think, okay, where are the areas that this church is really strong in at the moment? Let's keep on making sure we maintain that strength. Where are the growth areas? What's the one or two steps you're going to aim to take from here over the next 12 months? Often, all sorts of things will come up, and if you try and do all the things all at once, you probably won't get very far. But okay, what are the things that are really going to have the most bang for the buck? And let's work on one or two of those to move forward. And so that's something we do with churches all the time. You can find that on our website as well. Invite us in to do the EMT with your church. It'd be great.
Yeah, we'd love to partner with you and help you to do that well. There's probably about 100 odd churches that we've done it with so far who have found it really, really helpful in helping them get next steps. And again, you don't have to be local to Sydney to do that. We will do that with churches all over the place. As Craig said in his episode, our vision is for effective youth and children's ministry in every church. We very intentionally not said Anglican. We very intentionally not said Sydney,
even though that's where we are located,
but every church. We would love to partner with you. So you can go to youthworks.net/EMT You will find the links for the assessment tool. You will find a sample report that you can download and look at and see what it looks like. And you can fill in the quick little form at the bottom there, which will send me an email and tell me that you want to be enrolled in the EMT and get that done for your church.
And I just want to say one thing about kind of what we do. We really recognize that the context matters, that how these principles play out in practice will differ from place to place to place, depending on all sorts of factors.
Absolutely. I think that's really helpful to say that you might be in an urban context, a suburban context, a rural context. We will ask you about particular indicators of ministry, but as this is all framed up, these are the principles.
Yeah.
And principles are a step before practice. So we're not going to tell you, you must do these exact things, have this number of leaders, run your ministry exactly this way. We can help you work towards that, but it's based on principles and then think about, okay, your context, given your resources, how might you do these 7 things?
You want to engage in Bible-centered relational discipleship with young people. What will that look like in your context?
Exactly. All right, so next steps, you can go to youthworks.net/EMT to find the effective ministry tool. You can also find some deeper papers that we have written on these 7 principles. I'll put that link in the show notes as well. As always, if there's anything that YouthWorks can do to help you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your local church, please go to youthworks.net. You can also email effectiveministrypodcast@youthworks.net and that will come straight to me. You can ask me questions, give me feedback, and ask how we can help you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your local church. Thanks, Matt, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we will talk to you all next week.
The Effective Ministry Podcast is a production of YouthWorks in Sydney. We want to see effective youth and children's ministry in every church. And one of the ways that you can help us do that is by letting people know about this podcast in all the usual ways, like, comment, share, and review on your favorite social media and podcasting platform. If you've got comments, thoughts, or questions for this podcast, you can email us at effectiveministrypodcast@youthworks.net. And also check out youthworks.net for other ways that YouthWorks can help you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your church.